I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. Zechariah is the next to the last book in the Old Testament. And I want you to turn with me to the 11th chapter, please. If that didn't bless you, your blesser's busted. Are you in Zechariah? Okay, are you in the 11th chapter? All right, look please at verse 1. The Bible says, "Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down." I want us to pray together, and then I'm going to speak to you this morning on this verse of Scripture, the second verse of Scripture, in a little phrase where it says, "Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen." I want to speak this morning on the cedar has fallen. Let's pray. Our Father, it's with joy and gladness that we thank you for our Redeemer. Lord, we stand here today and realize that we would be nothing if our Redeemer was not still alive. But just as Job said, we know that our Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on the earth in the last day. And Lord, we have faith in that promise. Now, Lord, I pray that you will bless as we look at this little picture that was given here, this little illustration that God used to show his people the importance of standing firm and standing strong. And Lord, bless as I preach on this today and help me. I need your help. I pray that you'll guide my thoughts. Pray that you'll help me to find the words, and that, Lord, what I preach here this morning will also find lodging in good soil, in good hearts today. Lord, may the fruit that comes from this be something that only time can measure. That, Lord, we can look back to this service and look back to this message and look back to this principle that was given to our hearts as the day when we made the decision that we were going to be what you would have us be, and we were going to stand and give our best to our children and to our families, and that, Lord, you would be honored and glorified in what's said and done. Father, fill me with your Spirit and help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to look with me this morning at verse 2. We have a passage of Scripture here where the Lord is dealing with his people, with Israel, and he is basically giving them a little picture here. And there is a tremendous little picture that I want to point out. You'll notice in the first part of verse 2, God makes the point. He says, "Howl, fir tree." Now, you know what a howl is. It is something that basically, when you think of a howl, you think of a wolf. And you think of that wolf who is a predator. And you think of the wolf who is out on the hilltops, and he is sending a signal to his family or to the wolves that are in his pack, and he is sending some kind of warning to them. Well, basically, what we have here is God says, "Howl, fir tree." Why? Well, the mighty cedar has fallen. Now, there's a picture here. I want you to see what the Lord is saying by using this verse. So let me see if I can explain it to you. Side by side on Mount Hermon. Now, you've got to picture the nation of Israel, if you could see it on the map. And you see, as you're looking at the map, you have the Mediterranean on one side, and then you have Syria and Jordan on the other side. And then due north of Israel is Lebanon. And God put a little boundary in there to separate the Lebanese people from the Jews. And that little boundary is Mount Hermon. Now, Mount Hermon is huge. It is absolutely huge. It is a mountain that just runs forever, and it is just a spectacle to see it with your own eyes. This last trip to the Holy Land, we went right up to the very base of Mount Hermon, and it was a clear day, and you could see the ski slopes and see the folks as they were skiing down the slopes of Mount Hermon. It is a fantastic and a beautiful sight. Years ago, during Bible times, there were two kinds of trees that each served a specific and special purpose that grew side by side on the slopes of Mount Hermon. Now, of course, there were many other trees that grew, but the slopes of Hermon were especially noted for the cedar trees that grew on the slopes, and these cedar trees were just huge. They were strong. They were very expansive. They would grow up, and their limbs would just go everywhere. And it was a huge, sturdy. Its roots dug deep into the ground, and it was a very important tree for the people that lived in this area. The timber that was produced from the cedar tree was used to make beams for buildings and for houses. It was used to make the joists from which they would attach their roofs. It was used as the foundation for homes because it was strong and it was durable. It did not dry out and rot. It was filled with rosin and was very strong and very powerful. And so it was the strength of many buildings in the Bible lands. Now, the fir, however, was a little bit different. Although both are evergreen trees, the fir tree was a little bit different. It was much smaller than the massive cedar. And the fir tree was used for flooring. It had a very beautiful look to it. It was very light and easy to work with, and it was used for flooring. It was used to make musical instruments. They would use the fir tree to make their harps and to make their instruments of string. And then it was also used for finishing work. Whenever you built your house and you had the strong foundation of the cedar and you had the floor joist out of cedar and you had the roof joist out of cedar, then they would come along with the fir and they would use it to make the molding and they would use it for finishing the house on the inside to make it something spectacular and something beautiful. The fir tree was a little different from the cedar in that it was straight and it did not take the shape of the sprawling cedar. It would grow up and it was just a straight little tree and had kind of a Christmas tree type tree, if you could imagine. And so it did not take the shape of the cedar. When the cedar came out of the ground, its trunk would expand and its roots would dig down and it would get a real strong base and then boom, it would shoot up and it would just go everywhere in every direction. Now, the little fir tree grew under the branches of the massive cedar. It was almost like the little fir was seeking shelter underneath and resting underneath the great protective branches of the cedar tree. Now, if the little fir tree fell, nobody would pay any attention to it. If the little fir tree fell over, if something knocked it over, or if it got some kind of blight and it died and then eventually fell, wouldn't cause any problems, wouldn't hurt the cedar whatsoever. The cedar was totally immune to any damage that could be done when the little fir tree fell. If it fell, the animals weren't disturbed, they weren't bothered. I mean, nobody would even take notice if the little fir tree happened to fall down. But you let the mighty cedar tree fall, And that caused quite a stir. The animals that rested in its under it would flee. The birds that were building their nest and resting in the branches of the cedar would take to the air. And everything was affected when the mighty cedar fell over. Perhaps, however, the most affected was a little fir tree that nestled under the branches of the cedar. That was probably the most affected of all of anything in the area. For when the massive cedar tree fell, with its weight and its strength and its power, when it fell, it always took the little cedar with it. Every time that massive, every time that massive cedar fell, the little fir tree was destroyed. It was always impacted. And that's why our text says, howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. Now, let's take God's little picture here, and let's apply God's little picture to the forest of men. When the devil lays his axe to the spiritual cedar, and that cedar falls, the smaller fir will always fall with it. You see, there's never a cedar that falls, but what's a little fir is not destroyed in the process. And let me tell you something, dear friend. To somebody, you are a cedar tree. That somebody may be your child. It may be your son or your daughter. It may be your baby. It may be your grandchild. But to somebody, you are a cedar. Now, you'll notice it doesn't say, how cedar, for the fir is fallen. No, it doesn't say that. The falling of the fir does not affect the cedar. But if the cedar falls, so does that little fir that grows beneath its branches. Whether you are a pastor, or whether you are a Sunday school teacher, or whether you just are a helper in a Sunday school class, whether you work in the Dynamite Club on Wednesday nights, or whether you work in the bus ministry, or you are involved in soul winning and you are a trainer in the soul winning program, whether you are a dad or a mom or a grandmother or a grandfather, you must realize that to somebody, you are a cedar tree. You must realize that you have some little firs that will be destroyed if all of a sudden you should come toppling down. You understand the point? You understand the picture? Now, there are many different ways I could go in applying this truth. But this little principle is so important. How fir tree? Why? Because the cedar is fallen. Let me just make a couple of applications and we'll be done. The fir tree may call you daddy. The fir tree may call you daddy. All of us have somebody under our shadow. And it just may be that you are a cedar that rises above a little fir, and that little fir looks at you for guidance, protection, direction, strength, and that little fir tree calls you daddy. To your child, you are a mighty cedar. And if you fall, you just mark it down, dear friend, that little fir that's underneath you is going to fall as well. Our churches are filled with young people who have become spiritual disasters simply because they and left the will of God simply because their mighty cedar, their dad, the one that they look to for spiritual leadership, the one they look to as the high priest in their home, did something foolish and left the will of God himself. And when their dad fell, the children fell right along with them. I remember when I was a little child, when I was just a little guy growing up in Brookhaven and Cross Lanes, West Virginia, every kid in our neighborhood thought that my dad hung the moon. Every kid in our neighborhood thought that my dad was the one that flung the stars out into space. Every person, every kid in our neighborhood thought that my dad was the strongest man that ever walked on the face of the earth. Why? Because that was my perception of him. As far as I was concerned, my dad could do anything. I looked at my dad as my hero, and I'm telling you, I still to this day feel that way about my dad. I think my dad is the greatest man alive, and that's how I feel about him. You know, every boy thinks that way about his dad. But let me tell you something, Dad. To your children, you are a cedar tree. To that child that is under your branches, you have the wisdom of Solomon. You have the strength of Samson. You have the stature of Goliath. You have the greatness of Moses. You have the brilliance of the Apostle Paul. And you have the faith of mighty Abraham. Oh, the tragedy and the heartache and the despair. If all of a sudden, as the wind was blowing in the down the slopes of the mountain, what a tragedy if suddenly that wind was strong enough to knock you down. I'm saying, dear father, dear husband, dear dad, stay strong and don't let the ill winds of life cause you to fall over and crash and ruin and cause destruction to the spiritual life of that little fir that is nestled underneath your branches. The temptations that the devil throws at dads is just, I just don't have words for it. I just don't have words for it. Oh, my soul, you've got to stand, Father. You've got to stand, Daddy. You've got to get your nose in the book, and you've got to get planted and grounded and settled in the church. You've got to show that little child that is in your home that there is something different about the way you live your life, and let them see that you are serving God. Give them an example to follow. Don't let the devil come along and tempt you to do something foolish. Someone offends you. Someone mistreats you. Be careful, Dad. Be careful. You've got a little fir tree that is under your branches. The devil comes along and tempts you to go into sin, to do something stupid, to do something silly, to do something ridiculous. Be careful. Be careful. Because if you ruin your life through sin, mark it down, you're going to affect that little fir that's under your branches. He tempts you. Just make up your mind, you're going to stand for the Lord. I see so many young men today who just can't seem to realize that sin has a terrible price. I don't know if it's just a lack of teaching on the church's part, or that the family has just eroded to the place where we're not giving true values and true principle to our young people today. But you see so many young men who just do not stop and consider and think about the fact that there are consequences to sin. Now, I'm not talking just in dollars and cents. I'm talking about that little fir that's underneath your branches. You better guard yourself. You better be careful. You say, well, you know, if I do something foolish and I lose my family or I get a divorce, I'm going to lose my home. Oh, 10,000 times worse than that. You're going to destroy those little firs that are underneath your branches. Oh, well, if I get a divorce, what's the big deal? Everybody else is getting one. I'll tell you what the big deal is. The big deal is you got a little fir tree underneath your branches. You had better be careful what you do to that little fir tree. It costs. We need to learn and realize that sin has a price. We need to realize that adultery costs. We need to realize that drunkenness costs. We need to realize that dope costs. Not just money, but a price measured in more than dollars and cents. And you play with the devil and you lose every time. But sadly, so were the little firs that are under your branches. Every time. Every time. But let me tell you something, Dad. You stay strong and you live for God and you love your family and you do the right thing, and you'll be blessed in your life with a family that loves and respects you. You'll be blessed in your life with a family that will be strong themselves, but they've got to have a big cedar in their lives that stands there planted, grounded, rooted, and says, nothing is going to shake me from this foundation. Let me tell you something, Dad. That little fir tree is watching every step. That little fir tree is feeling the same winds that are blowing down the mountain trying to knock you down. Don't let it happen. Get planted, grounded, and settled in the things of God. Number two, that little fir tree may call you mother. That little fir tree just may call you mother. Oh, how wonderful it is to be mother. You know, little Braden came into this world Tuesday morning. Our grandson, Josh and Kathy's baby. Tuesday morning he came into the world. I noticed immediately. I was over at that hospital every free moment I had. And I'm holding that little bundle in my arms. And I'm looking down into his face. And every now and then, he wakes up and he starts crying. Now, one of the advantages of being a grandfather is that you can go, amen. That's good. And so I'm standing, sitting there holding him, and I'm just staring at him, just looking at him. And I'm just thanking God for the miracle of a new baby in the family. And as I sat there and held him, all of a sudden those little eyes start to blink. And he wakes up, and he gets red in the face, and he lets out this blood-curdling scream. And the first thing that happened was Kathy says, let me have him. I pick him up. Walk over, and I lay him down upon her, and she starts talking to him, and boom, just like that, Mama's able to turn him off. I mean, it's just like flipping a switch. Thank God for Mama. Mama is the most important influence in your life, whether you realize it or not. You ever turn on a football game? It's the playoffs. It's fourth quarter. It's third down and one, and the announcers are in a frenzy, and the crowd is in a frenzy, and the game is tied. If you can just get that first down, you get three more sets of downs, and if you can move the ball just a few more yards, your field goal kicker can come in and win the game. I mean, everybody is going nuts in the stands. The coaches are biting their fingernails, and the excitement is just filling the whole place, and you're sitting there on the edge of your seat wondering, are they going to be able to stop them? And the quarterback gets the ball, and he turns and hands it to the tailback. The tailback goes bursting with every bit of energy and strength he's got, but all of a sudden this 350-pound lineman just starts manhandling people out of the way, and he comes through that hole, and he hits that tailback 1 yard deep in behind the line of scrimmage, flips him up and buries him down in the ground. And then 15 other guys come and pile on top of him. And finally everybody starts pulling one another off. And the last one to get up is that tailback. He's helped up by his friends. But the next to the last one to get up is that 350-pound lineman. Man, his teammates are smacking him in the head, and they're pushing him, and they're running back in as a group. And they're all pumping their fists, and they're all excited. And he gets off the field, and he rips off his helmet, and his hair's going everywhere. He's got sweat pouring off his brow. He's got blood coming out his nose and out his lips. He's got half his teeth missing. He hasn't shaved in what looks like an eternity. And they put the camera right in his face, and through the grit and through the grime and through the blood, he looks at that camera and he goes, "Hi, Mom." Why don't they ever say, "Hi, Dad"? That really offends me. I mean, good night. You know, you work like a dog to provide for your family, and Mom gets all the attention. I'm telling you, Mom is the most important person to that child. That little fir tree is growing underneath the branches of Mom, and that little fir looks up at the cedar and says, "Man, this is the greatest thing ever. There is nothing like Mom." I wish my mom was still here. My mom died when she was 46 years of age. And she died the day after we told her that we were going to have Joshua. She had a massive heart attack. Boom, just died like that. It was awful. No warning, nothing. I wish my mom could be here. I tell you, folks, my mother did so much, so much, and I broke her heart so many times. But if my mother could just come to the Church of the Open Door, just one Sunday night service, That's all I'd like. Just one Sunday night service. She'd sit right down here on the front row and she'd be grinning from this ear to this ear. She'd just sit there and weep and rejoice, seeing what God has done. Let me tell you something, folks. There's nobody like Mom. Absolutely nobody like Mom. To that little fir tree you possess, Mom, you have the beauty of Sarah. You have the courage of Esther. You have the purity of Mary. You have the patience of Rebecca. You have the unselfishness of Naomi. You have the loyalty of Ruth. You have the warmth of Phoebe. And you have the grace and charm of Rachel. But Mom, be careful. Because if you fall, the little fir tree is going to fall as well. If ever there was a time when moms need to be strong and to spread their protective branches and guard their children, it is today. It is today. I love the children around here. I thank God for all the kids around here. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, folks, but I work hard to establish a relationship and a friendship with the children of our church. I work hard at it. Man, I come up and talk to Mom and Dad. I don't ignore the little ones sitting there. Man, I shake hands with them. I tease them. I got a lot of little buddies sitting around here right now. I got a lot of little buddies sitting right here. One of my little buddies over here brings me candy bar every morning. Goes out there and takes candy from the candy man and comes and gives it to me. Amen! That one right there. I was sitting up here one Sunday morning and you know how you just feel like somebody's staring at you? And I'm looking around the room and I said, who's staring at me? And boom, there he was sitting right here. And I looked down at him and I smiled and he smiled from ear to ear and he went like this. He went. And I just went right back at him. Oh, yeah. I love our kids. You know, I wish that I could do more to ensure that our children have a chance in this life. I wish I could do more I almost wish that I could just have appointments with them on a weekly basis and have them come in, spend 15 minutes with them and just love them and train them and pray for them. I wish I could do that. Let me tell you something, Mom. As much influence as I can have on your children, I can't have near what you can have. And I'm begging you and I'm pleading with you to lose yourself in your children. Just absolutely lose yourself in your children. One of the things that I always tell parents when they come in, when they're like three weeks old, you know, you stand there and you hold them, you look at them, and man, you're just thrilled with that. Then all of a sudden they get 13, and they don't want you standing there holding them, looking at them. You know, they grow up a little bit. And they don't want you standing there loving them and making goofy faces at them and talking baby talk to them. They think that's ridiculous. And they don't want your attention like that anymore. But just because they don't want it doesn't mean you shouldn't give it. You ought to work as hard when they're 14 to communicate with them and to connect with them. You ought to work as hard then as you did when they were 3 months old. Because the truth of the matter is, as much as they needed you when they were 3 weeks, they still need you when they're 13. Don't let them get out of your sight. Don't let them get away from you. Don't let them walk away from you. Don't let them get out of your care. I mean, I tell you folks, the devil's after your children. Be strong, Mom. Be faithful. Be Christ-like. Your children shouldn't see some cigarette-sucking, beer-drinking, half-naked, tattooed attitude as their mother. They ought to see somebody that loves Jesus, knows the Bible, is a picture of grace and goodness in the home. Not shut up, my show's on. I mean, folks, you're a cedar. Mom, you're a cedar. And that little fir is underneath you. You say, Pastor, I wish I had heard this 25 years ago. I wish you had it too. I wish you had it too, because your little fir tree might not be laying up there bent down right now. I wish you'd have heard it too. But you're hearing it now. So put it into practice now. You can have an impact upon your grandchildren. Maybe not your children, but you can have an impact upon your grandchildren. Maybe it's too late. Maybe the fir has already fallen over. But there's still another little fir that'll come along. Lose yourself in your children. Folks, your children, moms, your children ought to see a godly, sweet, loving, compassionate woman that gives her all for the little firs that are under her. Now, one more thing and I'll close. I believe with all my heart that we need a revival of parenthood in America. I tell you, it's sad. You go down here to the mall and here they are running up down the mall half clothed. That makes them half naked. If you're half clothed, you're half naked. And then we wonder why they get in trouble. Make up your mind that that little fir tree that's under your branches is not going to be toppled over. Make up your mind. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, for the little fir has been destroyed. Let me give you a couple of biblical examples and I'll close. You remember Naomi and Elimelech in the book of Ruth? Naomi and Elimelech thought it nothing to leave Judah, to leave Bethlehem. Hey, by the way, Bethlehem means the house of bread. And Judah means praise. And Elimelech and Naomi thought it nothing to leave the house of bread in the land of praise to go to the wilderness of Moab. I've been to both. I've been to Jerusalem and I've been to Moab. And I'm telling you, Moab is not good. Moab is high desert. Moab is rocks, barrenness, nothing there. Snakes, scorpions, spiders, that's about it. And here is Elimelech and Naomi, and they leave the house of bread in the land of praise, and they go to the wilderness, they go to the desert. Now you know the rest of the story? The rest of the story is, when they got down in there, Naomi was the only one that came back. The two little fir trees that went with them never made it out. They died in the wilderness. Oh, Naomi came out, but the little fir trees that went with her, they didn't make it. Be careful, cedar, for when the cedar falls, the little fir tree is going to be destroyed. A little fir tree one day adored his daddy. But King Solomon sinned against God and ruined his life and went from wisdom to foolishness. And when he did, the little fir tree named Rehoboam, his son, fell with him. When the mighty cedar David fell, so did the little fir trees that were under him, named Absalom and Tamar and Adonijah and Amnon. All of their lives ruined, sin and disgrace came upon their household. Shame filled their family. Despair was everywhere you look, all because the cedar fell. And when he did, he took the little fir trees with him. Let me tell you something, dear friend. Nobody sins alone. Nobody sins alone. When the cedar falls, the fir is crushed. No one goes away from God alone. You always take the little fir with you when you go. Nobody is disgruntled alone. You always take the little fur with you. Nobody is bitter alone. It always has its impact upon the little fur that's under your branches. No one takes up drinking alone. It always impacts the little furs that are under you. Nobody commits adultery alone. It always has its impact upon those little furs that are underneath you. Nobody goes into pornography alone. You say, hey, this is my life. I'm an adult. I can do what I want. Go ahead and don't listen to God and don't listen to me, but mark it down. You're going to wipe out the little fur that's underneath your branches. Nobody sins alone. Nobody. Dear friend, we need a revival among dads and moms. And we need it here this morning. We need a revival right here. You say, well, preacher, my kids never make a decision for God. Could it be because the cedar that they're watching never makes a decision for God? I mean, the little fir is only going to do what he sees the big cedar tree doing. And it may be that the reason your kids aren't walking with God is simply because they know you're not walking with God. They never see you humbled before the Lord, never see you seeking the Lord's will, never seeking you to live a closer life to the Lord. Little fir trees need you standing firm and strong, cedars. Those little firs are watching you. You can't control the government, dear friend. You can't do it. I'd like to. Oh, would I like to. You can't control the government. You can't control the public school system. You can't control what goes on down here in City Hall in Westminster. You can't control what goes on down in Annapolis. You can't control that. But you can control what goes on in your home. And that will have an impact upon the little firs that are underneath your branches. Don't let it be said of you, howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. Don't let that be said of your family. I'll never remember or never forget. You know what I mean. I get medicine free on Thursday. Then I have 2 weeks of feeling like, he said, like caffeine withdrawal and praying to die. And then I'll be back to normal, whatever normal is. But I'll never forget when my kids were little. They were just little tiny fellers. And I remember that. Why won't that come off of there? Come off of there. I remember that I used to use them a lot in illustrations and examples. I used to say things like, you know, I'm not going to give up being a parent. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to discipline my children. And I had skeptical parents sitting out there. I've later found out the reason they were so skeptical is because they had lost their own kids a year before I even had kids. Yeah, right. And I always talked about, you know, when my children grow up and they get married, I want them around me. I want them in the church. And, I said, I can envision a day when Joshua would be on the staff of my church. And, yeah. And I had this one lady who just always sat there, you know, give you that one of those every time you said something like that. Yeah, right. I was preaching down that way here a while back, and she got a hold of me. She said, do you remember when you used to make those comments? And I said, yeah. I said, do you remember when I used to say under my breath, make faces at you and say, yeah, right. She said, I'm sorry about that. She said, boy, I wish my kids had turned out right. Well, let me tell you what I did. Number one, I loved them. Now, I don't mean I just loved them when they did good. I mean, I loved them. But let me tell you secondly what I did. I never gave up. I mean, even when they're 16 and 17 and they're pushing you this way, I said, uh-uh, not going to happen. You're not pushing me away. And I trained them, and I loved them, and I prayed for them, and I trained them, and loved them, and I prayed for them. And now they're all three married. Joshua's my youth pastor. The girls go to church here. Let me tell you something, folks. It can be done. Now, it can be done. But you cannot just say, well, you're on your own. No, you can't do that. They're a little fir tree that's underneath you as a massive cedar. And you got to lose yourself in the training and the discipling and the teaching and the loving and the discipline. You've got to lose yourself in your children. And you can have that little fir tree one day look up and say, man, this is good. Thank you for what you've done for me. Folks, there's nothing as exciting as seeing the hand of God upon your child. There's nothing any better. There's nothing any better. And that can happen if you as a cedar just dig your roots in deep and say, by the grace of God, no storm is going to topple me. There's nothing going to come that's going to knock me down. I'm going to stand here firm, planted, and I'm just going to be what God wants me to be. God wants you to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Get rooted. Get grounded. Some of you need to join the church this morning. You need to join the church and get your family rooted and grounded in the church, growing and serving God. May God help us. May God help us to stand and not be blown over, because those little firs are going to suffer when we do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the grace and the goodness that is ours in Christ. And Lord, what a privilege to serve the living God. Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit to move and work. Lord, I just pray that every single one of us here this morning will give thought and give attention to what we have heard. Lord, everybody in this room is a cedar tree to somebody. I pray that you will just enable us to stand and be what we ought to be. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around for a moment. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, God is speaking, God is dealing with my heart this morning? I'm a cedar tree to somebody, I know that. You may be dad, you may be mom, you may be a grandfather or grandmother, but you're a cedar tree to somebody. And you're sitting here and you're saying, you know, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart. I want to be that cedar that stands. I don't want to be that cedar that gets knocked over. That little fir tree is going to suffer if I do. And I've got some fir trees watching me, Pastor, and God's dealing with my heart right now. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up all over this room and let's pray and ask God to bless and do something in our hearts today in a great way? Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. You may put your hands down. Thank you so much. Let me ask one more question. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, Pastor, I don't even know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I mean, I came to church this morning and I just don't know about this getting saved and going to heaven thing. I really don't know, but I'm concerned about my soul. I know I need to do something, and that's why I'm here. God's led me here today. I know God's doing something in my life, but I just don't know what it is. But Pastor, would you pray for me that God will speak to my heart today and do something in my life? Would you raise your hand, dear friend, and let me pray and ask God to help you today? Just lift your hand and hold it up. Is there anybody like that? Just pray for me. Yes, God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Now, Lord, you know our needs today. And I pray for the folks that raise their hand all over this room. Lord, you've spoken to hearts, and I pray that you will bless now and enable these folks to just take that stand and make that commitment to do the things of God, to stand and to just keep on standing regardless of what storms may come. And Lord, I pray that you'll help every father in this room to stand as a cedar, not to be blown down. Lord, for every mom, that they'll not be delighted by the things of Moab, but Lord, they'll just be there for their children and be what a mom should be. Lord, I pray for revival amongst our parents. And then, Lord, I pray for this one that said that that they're just not real sure about this salvation thing, being saved. What is it all about? Lord, may today be the day when those questions are answered and when, Lord, this soul comes to a saving knowledge of Your dear Son. Lord, save that soul today in Jesus' name. Amen.